Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sunday and happy holidays to everyone. Safe traveling. And everything, today's the day, it sounds like, where most people head to the airport and try and get to where they're going today and tomorrow. And so we wish you safe travels getting there, and Merry Christmas, and happy holidays, I guess. I don't know what to say. It's either Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, right, Sarah? You never know.
Yeah,
who you're talking to. But anyway, it's a beautiful Sunday here in Maine today. It's actually really sunny and really unseasonably warm. We have no snow, so I'm expecting that maybe to change over the next week, but who knows. Anyway, what a beautiful guest we have with us today. This is a special show. We don't usually do shows on Sunday. We usually do them on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And I just want to take a moment and thank everyone at Blog Talk Radio for again featuring our show as a staff pick, with beautiful Sarah Kronk's face on there and her sparkle effect, which she, whether or not you're the president of the sparkle effect or not, you just have that sparkle effect on everyone. Your smile and your eyes are just so adorable.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But thank you. Thanks go to you for being with us today. Everything you do is just absolutely amazing, and I can't wait to share. I hope everybody listening stays with us for the full hour and even join the chat room. If you have any questions, you can call us at 714-868-0220. I do have the chat room going. You can type in your questions there. Or I'm following Twitter also. You can tweet me at BestEverYou, or you can tweet Sarah at Sparkle Effect, and we'll get those live on air too. So welcome, Sarah. You're the president of the Sparkle Effect. The Sparkle Effect is this nonprofit organization that you started a long time ago. What is it exactly?
Yeah, well, the Sparkle Effect is my nonprofit organization. I started it about 4 years ago when I was 15, after creating the nation's first high school-based cheerleading team, including students with disabilities at my high school in Iowa. So we created this team, which we named the Spartan Sparkles because the Spartans were our mascot. And after that went over really well, we sort of thought, hey, why shouldn't other schools be doing the same thing? So I created the Sparkle Effect, whose mission is to start inclusive teams for cheerleaders and dancers at the middle school, high school, and collegiate levels in schools across America. And since 2009, we have started 85 programs nationwide and have provided free uniforms to most of those teams, and we also provide free on-site training to any teams that request it or need it. So it's been an amazing 4 years, and we still are continuing to grow at a rapid pace. And hopefully by the end, in the next couple of months, we'll reach our big goal of 100 teams and then keep building from there. So that's basically what the Sparkle Effect is.
You know, I hope everybody listening just heard the part about being 15 when you started this. I mean, you're 15 years old, and I can kind of remember when you started it because you were, you know, you're such a good student, and you're, you know, just an amazing achiever, and not snotty about it at all like some people can be. You know, it's like, you know, look at me. You're all about other people, and I just absolutely love your kindness and your generous spirit about you. It's something. Have you always been that way? Did somebody teach you that?
I mean, people always tell me that, like, oh, I would expect you, since you started accomplishing such big things at such a young age, that you would be a little stuck up about it. And I always thought that was funny because that's sort of the opposite of what the Sparkle Effect is all about. It's all about being inclusive and kind and understanding and accepting to everyone. And so it's never really crossed my mind to be snooty about any of the success that the Sparkle Effect has had. And, you know, I feel like I can't really take credit for all the success of the Sparkle Effect. Like, I'm so happy to be the driving force behind it, and it's been such a great journey. But I'm, you know, no stranger to the fact that none of this would have happened without the amazing cheerleaders and dancers across the country who are stepping up in their own schools and making this happen, and all the girls and boys with disabilities who are courageous enough to strut their stuff in front of their schools. So it, yes, I play a huge role in it, but I definitely don't feel like I'm responsible for the success.
Yeah, humble as always. You're so cute. if I had your parents on the line right now, would they say that you're sort of a natural born leader? Like, what were you like when you were like 3 and 4?
Well, I've always been inclined to try and lift up the underdog. That's always sort of been my personality. They used to always joke that I was as happy as the least happy kid in my classroom. So if there was ever somebody struggling in school, I was the first one by their side, you know, offering advice and saying, what can I do to help? We're going to get you out of this. You know, if anyone was being picked on, I was always the first one to, to get up in their face and go, hey, why don't you leave them alone, sort of thing. So I think I've always had a soft spot for the underdog and felt like I was in a good position to step up on their behalf.
And, okay, so I have a brother who has disabilities. I have a brother who's, he's probably 27 now, and he was born, he's an adopted brother, and he has fetal alcohol syndrome, which is, you know, devastating in a lot of different things. But he is such an amazing go-getter, and he will do anything in his power to be his best always. Do you have something like that, somebody like that in your family, or what makes you have that soft spot in your heart for people when they aren't?
Well, yeah, my older brother, Charlie, he's about 13 months older than me, so we've always been very close. He is on the autism spectrum. He has a learning disability called nonverbal learning disorder, and so I've always been incredibly close with him. We were best friends growing up, and so I think having him in the family and understanding that some people have different needs than others and some people have different abilities and that there's nothing wrong with that, and in fact that we should celebrate it, that I've always been very open to different people and different abilities.
Yeah, and so what made you do cheer? I know you're a cheerleader. Is that what made you think, like, how did you think about the Sparkle Effect? How did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, well, I was a cheerleader in high school, and I started cheering in junior high and then made varsity as a freshman, which was very exciting for me. So, I was very invigorated by this new role in high school and so happy to be part of a team, and being part of that environment was so important to my overall, sense of well-being in high school. Like, I had a place to go. I had a group of friends and all that, and then we also volunteered my freshman year at the Iowa Special Olympics and put on a cheerleading clinic for the athletes there, where we taught them a couple of our cheers and then cheered with them at the opening ceremonies. And, you know, I'd always been a big advocate of inclusion, but it wasn't really until going to the Iowa Special Olympics that I realized what a perfect fit cheerleading was for it. Cheerleading is just one of those skills that you can really adapt it to any skill level. That's why you have all these little peewee cheerleading teams now. So, I mean, if 5-year-olds can cheer, anyone can cheer.
Everybody can be happy and cheer and yell and do all those wonderful
exactly.
things. Exactly. Really great.
There's no age limit for spirit. No skill level required to be spirited. And so we sort of left this experience thinking, wow, that was so amazing. And, you know, giving just an hour or two of your time, we could tell that it made such a big difference to the athletes there. And we were so inspired and we felt so enriched by that experience that as a team we sort of felt like, we feel so great about this, why does it have to end now? Why can't this be something that we just make a part of our cheerleading culture at our school and something that we do year-round? And we had like a group of 5 girls right away that were on board with starting the inclusive team, and we got their green light from our coach and then really tried to get the ball rolling. And of course, at first, school administrators were a little skeptical. We're a group of cheerleaders, and, you know, cheerleaders are traditionally the most exclusive group in school. And here we are showing up at school board meetings saying, hey, we really want to start this program. And they're like, but are you going to want to do this for 2 weeks and then leave these girls behind? And the school's going to be embarrassed. And thankfully, we convinced them that we were serious, and they gave us the green light. They said, we'll give you one game, and if you can make it work for this one game and it's not a disaster, then you can keep your team. But if anything goes wrong, you're done. And so we said, okay, we can do it. And
85
and we
schools
did.
Later, look at it now.
Yeah.
What a blessing that moment was. It's a true blessing for somebody to actually have some faith in, you know, 15-year-olds. That's a leap right there for people.
Yeah, and we knew they were taking a risk. We have this, like, notoriously rowdy student section at my high school, all these guys who paint their chests for the games and, you know, they're really loud and obnoxious, and we really weren't sure whether, you know, we were going to get booed off the field or whether it was going to be just perfect. And I can tell you right now, I have experienced few moments that are as magical as that first night. And stepping out onto that field arm in arm with these girls, they're beaming. They look like total celebrities. And this entire student section and stadium rises to its feet and starts chanting, "Here we go, Sparkles, here we go," and clapping and cheering. And there was not a dry eye in that stadium. And we've got a big old football stadium here in Iowa. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think I was just going to do a tie-in here for a moment. I graduated from that high school in 1987. And the high school that we're talking about is Pleasant Valley High School in Pleasant Valley, Iowa, the home of the Spartans, go Spartans. And it's fun because I was a cheerleader there for 4 years, too, and then a cheerleader for the is it still the Blackhawk Braves? Did they change that?
I'm not sure what. Oh, is that the
eighth
junior
grade.
High?
Like, yeah, the junior
high.
Yeah,
no, they changed that. They changed the name of the junior high to just the Pleasant Valley Junior High. So we're all Spartans now.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because when I went there, they were out in LeClaire, Iowa, and it
still
was
out there.
Blackhawk. Yeah, junior high. So is that still the same place?
Yep, way out in the middle of all those cornfields. They really haven't. Nothing else has been put up over there. It's just the junior high.
That's funny. And, you know, so I get what you mean when you're saying, you know, a whole crowd of people, they have the best fans there and the best people at that high school. And it's amazing because that, I don't think that tradition has lessened over the years. It's just gained momentum.
Yeah, no, the community lives for Friday Night Lights. I mean, I feel like the entire town is there every week. We packed the stadium. It just got redone. And so we've got this beautiful turf field and the more bleachers have been added. So there was at least 1,000 people there that night.
Yeah. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. It was so much fun to be a cheerleader there. And I can really get a good visual what you mean by the girls probably felt like celebrities coming out on the field and everything, because the crowd is really huge and there's just so much enthusiasm and it's loud and everybody stomps their feet and cheers and everything. What did the parents of those kids feel like?
Well, I mean, I could tell that they were pretty happy because a lot of them were sobbing right along with everybody else. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, a lot of these parents, when their kids are born, they're told that their child is never going to talk, they're never going to walk, that they're going to be in special ed for their entire life, that they're never going to be able to be side by side with their peers. And so to see them front and center being cheered on alongside typically developing students, alongside the varsity cheerleading team, is something that they never thought they were ever going to experience. And it's really, really cool for them.
Yeah.
And to see their child be an important and valued part of a high school culture is just irreplaceable. I mean, when my brother joined our high school swim team, I know that's how our family felt, even when, you know, he finished some of his races as the last guy out of the pool after everyone else had already toweled off. But to see this team cheer for him like he was getting a first-place win every time is just so magical. And it just gives us so much hope and faith in teenagers today. We hear all the time about how teens are angsty and how bullying is awful. But when you have a culture that's focused on inclusion, it's great for everybody involved. It's a really rewarding culture to be a part of.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times in raising my children that I've thought, you know, we should just move back to Pleasant Valley. We really should. We should just send all the kids to that high school. It's the best high school. Don't you think? It's just a cool high school.
Yeah, it was a great place to grow up and go to school. And, you know, it was really cool to be able to know so many people from kindergarten through senior year. And so now coming back, since I go to school in Washington now, so far away, coming back and being able to just sort of slide back into the old Pleasant Valley groove, it's a very, very cool place to grow up.
Yeah, so tell us about your graduation and tell us about where you are now and things like that, because you're not in high school anymore. You just said that. You're in college now. Take us back to graduation, though, and when did you graduate, and what are you doing in college and all those things? Just catch us up to speed.
Yeah, I graduated in 2011, and I actually missed my high school graduation to be on a Sparkle Effect business trip, so my dad had to accept my diploma for me, so that was kind of a bummer, but graduated in 2011, and I went to school and still go to school at Whitman College, which is in Walla Walla, Washington, which is a really small town in Southeast Washington, but a great school. It's a small liberal arts college. Right now I'm planning on being an English major, although I'm undeclared at this point. But I definitely am in love with Whitman just as much as I loved Pleasant Valley in Iowa, and so really, really happy to be there.
And, okay, so an English major. Is it just assumed that you'll just kind of always do the Sparkle Effect as your career? Is that what you're doing, or did you want to do something?
I mean, that's what I'm doing now, and it's a hard choice because there are so many things that I want to do, and I love the Sparkle Effect, and I love running the Sparkle Effect, but I don't pretend to know at this point whether or not I'm going to be doing this forever. I'm going to be doing it as long as it's growing and prospering and more teams and more schools are benefiting from it, and so I hope that happens for a long time, but I'm able to run the Sparkle Effect while being a full-time student, and so I'm sure I would also be able to run the Sparkle Effect while also having another job. I'd always like to be involved in nonprofit work, but I don't know if it will always be exclusively the Sparkle Effect.
Now, one of the things that is a common thing with our guests that we have on Best Ever You is where they took a leap of faith and said, okay, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to, you're a little bit younger than most of our guests, but, you know, we've got 40-year-olds who say, you know, when they're 30, you know, I don't want to do this, I'm going to go be an actor or something, you know, they give up the career that they went to college for and all these things to go do something wild and crazy like write a book or stay home or whatever. Now, I can see your leap of faith and that moment when you were in front of that school board and everything quite clearly. But what I was going to ask is, do you think that, like, how much, well, let me see how I'm going to word this. How big do you think the Sparkle Effect could be?
Well, of course, I ultimately hope that the Sparkle Effect becomes as much part of cheerleading as pom-poms are. I hope that eventually that inclusion is just the norm in not just cheerleading but all school sports, and that as much as I love that the Sparkle Effect has been celebrated as much as it has over the last couple of years, I hope that we reach a point in society that it's so common and such a part of every high school culture that we don't need to make such a huge deal out of it anymore, that it's just the way we raise our kids to be inclusive and accepting.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just really glad you said that because it shows your vision. And see, that's when and having you on as a guest today, I thought that would be what you would think because I can see that it's not just cheerleading. And I thought, okay, I wonder what's going on in her own family and things like that. So it's much bigger than just cheerleading. I hear you say all sports and, you know, and just a natural part of life. And I kind of see you as a change agent to make that happen. I mean, I do really see you as one of the few, you know, you're spearheading something that just isn't yet. It's not accepted as the norm, and you're kind of the change agent for it. Do you see yourself like that?
Well, you know, I don't always sit back and say, wow, Sarah, you're such a changer.
I just put a big hat on, roll on you, girl.
Yeah, I know, but I'm glad you said that, though, because I feel like cheerleading is really the smallest part of the Sparkle Effect. That's the one avenue that we've chosen, and it's worked really well. Mm-hmm. But I used to lecture at a different college when I was in high school. I guest lectured at a local college at Augustana.
Oh, yeah.
And the professor that I would speak to education majors who were taking a class on mainstreaming and inclusion in the school environment. And the professor that I lectured for, she told me once that we're embarking on a new wave with the disability rights movement, that first the first thing that people did in response to people with disabilities was euthanization, and then it moved on to segregation, and then it moved on to, you know, because back when my parents were in school, they never went, they never saw other people with disabilities. They went to a completely different school. They usually lived in a home from the time that they were kids. And then we moved sort of from a point of segregation to charity, like, oh, these poor, unfortunate people that need to be lifted up. And now we're moving on to a stage that's much more seeing it as a community, not that you need my help because I'm more able than you, but we help out each other. I can teach you things and you can teach me things, just like you would approach any other person. And I thought it was really cool that she pointed that out and saw the Sparkle Effect as part of that community movement. And so I hope that in the coming years that more and more organizations, there's already inclusive theater organizations, there's other sports and things like that, but I just hope that more and more people understand that really when we include people who are different from us or are differently abled, that everybody benefits in the end.
Yeah. And do you think it's helping with the issue of bullying? Like, does it help the kids to be part of something so that they aren't bullied or picked on or anything like that?
Absolutely. I mean, we have girls on these teams who, if they are started on the inclusive team when, let's say, they're 8 years old, then most likely that girl's never going to know what it feels like to be excluded, because she's always going to be seen as part of a group and part of an important, you know, an important part of school culture. And so if we raise kids from the time that they're really young, that differences are a thing to be celebrated and not feared or punished or anything like that, then we're going to create an overall more accepting culture. And also when we teach kids to give and to be compassionate towards others, they're going to feel more compassion for themselves. And when they feel more compassion for themselves, they're going to be less likely to beat up on other kids.
Sure.
It's really hard to, you know, be self-pitying or angry when you're giving yourself to others. And that's really one of the things that we've seen with the Sparkle Effect, too. And so if we teach kids to be giving and compassionate from early on, they're going to be less likely to bully.
Now, if somebody is listening to this and they think, what a cool idea and what a neat person you are, and I really would like to meet you and learn more about this and how I can implement this at my school, what should they do?
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're interested in just starting a Sparkle Effect program, they can log on to thesparkleeffect.org, which is our website, and they can download our Quick Start Kit, which is the information that we've put together that is the 11 steps that anyone can follow to get a team started at their school. If they want to talk to me personally or they have more questions about getting a team started or they've followed the steps but they're unsure of how to actually go about running a team, there's also contact information available on our site, how they can get in touch with me to either have a Sparkle Effect trainer sent to their school to help them get started, or just I can set up a phone call with them to bounce off questions. We can Skype, any of that. We like to make ourselves as available to teams as possible, and we have some really amazing Sparkle Effect trainers who can really provide some great input and advice for teams.
Now, does it cost anything to do that, to use that Sparkle Effect name? Is it called, you know, like whatever Sparkles or the Sparkle Effect at your own school, or do you name it something else, or how does that work? How does that part of the name?
Teams are allowed to name their squads whatever they want. A lot of teams decide to put the word Sparkle in their team name anyway. We don't require it, and we don't make teams pay for any Sparkle Effect services. They don't have to pay to be called a Sparkle Effect team or to, you know, receive training or any of that. For a lot of these families that are involved in the Sparkle Effect, they're already paying so much money for treatment and therapy for their kids that we want to make this program as cost-free as possible. So the only thing they really need to pay for is the gas money to get their child to and from practice.
Nice. Do you have a certain criteria that people have to meet? Is there anybody who can't be on the team or anything like that?
No, I mean, the only criteria we require is that it's based in a school, so that can be a middle school, high school, or a college. So there are a lot of all-star teams, which are private-owned cheerleading gyms that may have a special needs team, which is a team that's just for, or a Special Olympics team, but it's just people with disabilities and no people without disabilities. We require that it's people with and without disabilities cheering side by side for their peers in a school setting. That's all you have to fill to be considered a Sparkle Effect team.
Now, can you give us maybe some examples of lives you've changed? Do you have any like specific stories of anyone that comes to mind?
Oh, absolutely. We have so many cool success stories that, you know, we've experienced through the years. We have, you know, just in general, we hear back from parents saying that their child's grades have gone up, that they, if they, you know, had a lot of girls have speech impediments when they start because they're very shy about sort of getting their ideas out, and things like that improve once they're more comfortable with voicing their opinions. One of my favorite stories was one of our Pleasant Valley girls. Her name was Allison, and for the first several months of practice, she came to each practice wearing a different wig and being a different personality. So she would come wearing a blonde wig one day, and she had to be called Hannah Montana, or she threw a total hissy and refused to practice with us. And at first, we were sort of unsure how to handle that, so we just looked to her mom and said, okay, what do we do in this situation? Her mom said, just go with it. If this is what it takes to get her to practice and to not have tantrums, then this is what we're going to do. And so we just said, okay. We went along with it and called her by whatever name she wanted to be that day and, you know, complimented her wigs every time and her costumes. And one day, about probably 6 months into practicing, so we'd known her for a long time, she came in with no wig, no costume, and we said, hey, Allison, who are you today? And she said, today I'm just Allison. And it was a really big moment for us. We all just, you know, just took a second and said, you know, that's perfect. That's who you should be. And it was just really cool to see how much more comfortable she was to show up at practice and be herself in front of us.
You know, that takes such, you guys are such lovely young ladies. That is just such a big heart and big compassion for other people right there. Who are the other members of, if you remember, of your cheerleading squad? Because, you know, we're live on air right now. What a neat moment to just thank all of them. If you can remember who was there or whatever, or just some of them, even one or two, because that's just very sweet. I mean, that changes Allison's life.
Yeah, it was very cool. We had five original peer mentors, so I think were there at that time. We might have added a sixth girl by then, but it was, their names were Sarah Herr, Brenna O'Neill, Cameron Huffman, Jenna Lehman, and Gabby McKay was the girl who came a couple months later. So they all were instrumental in getting that first team off the ground, and really can't thank them enough for everything.
Yeah,
that they helped start.
Yeah, did you guys ever get any, you know, pushback from people like, "What are you girls doing?" I mean, really, kind of thing. Did you ever get anything? Was anybody ever just really against this, or even when it started, like, you know, this is just not going to fly, kind of thing? Just any negative at all, or has it all been, what a cool thing, this is so positive, blah blah blah?
Yeah, I mean, we had that initial, I don't know, girls, I don't know if this is really going to work. But after that first game and seeing those girls in front of everybody and how happy they were and what spirit there was around it, people just fell in love with them. And there was no negative feedback. There was nothing. Right. It was just, what a cool program. And the whole community really took ownership of it since we were the first ones to do it, and then it took off right away. And, I mean, the Sparkles were on Oprah their second
year. I saw it.
Yeah,
they
were
just about to go there.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody got to go on Oprah.
Yeah,
right?
They
that
became
whole
real celebrities, real local celebrities. And so people still will message me or send me emails and say, you know, I'm just so proud to be part of the Pleasant Valley community and part of the Quad Cities community because, you know, like we said, we got that first game, and if the students didn't handle it well and they, you know, responded negatively, it would have been done. So they know that they're as much a part of the success of all of this as anybody else, and they've been incredibly supportive.
Yeah. Now, if you had to do this all over again, would you do it? Like at 15, would you have made the same choices?
Oh, absolutely. I credit, you know, the sparkles and the sparkle effect for helping me become the person that I am today.
Yeah,
there were tons of really difficult moments, but I would be far more lazy, far less organized, much more directionless without this journey that we've been on. And so
that's funny.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I made my best friends in the world. Like the 10 original sparkles are family to me now. I call them all the time. We talk when I'm at school. We Facebook. We hang out when I'm back in Iowa. So wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. And did you ever have a moment in doing this where you're like, you know what, I'm, you know, a lot of people do this too. They feel like they want to give up or stop or maybe this wasn't such a good idea or anything like that. Or has it always had momentum? Have there ever been any points where you've been like, this is so hard. I have a choice right now to keep going or stop.
Well, it was when we started the Sparkle Effect, in the first year, we only generated 2 teams. And I had no idea what I was doing when we started the Sparkle Effect. I was 15. There was no way for me to understand how a nonprofit really worked or how it gained traction or anything like that. So I felt really discouraged at first. I mean, I was doing this very grassroots campaign. I was sending out handwritten little letters to cheerleading teams across the country saying, please go to my website and please check out this program, and getting zero feedback. And so in that first year, we started 2 teams, and that was amazing, and I was so happy about that. But I was sort of like, come on, guys, how are we going to keep this going?
Because I get what you're saying.
We're going to go at a rate of 2 teams a year. We're not going to start 100 teams until I'm 40. So that was hard, but
it's hard to be 40 too. Trust me.
Momentum. Yeah.
I just paid off my student loans. that's funny. I hear you, but you kept going. What made you keep going, or what did you say to yourself, or what did you do? Because these are lessons even adults need to hear. You know, like I can see you being 15 going, okay, I'm 16 now and I've done 2 teams. But, you know, sometimes we're 40 and, you know, like even Best Ever You, I can't tell you the amount of times, you know, you've been with me from the start at Best Ever You writing articles about people. I mean, when I very first started Best Ever You, you were right there doing stuff to help me. And, you know, I can remember I've had a lot of moments over the past 5 years where I'm like, I need to do something else maybe, you know, kind of thing. And there's a like kind of a conversation you have with yourself. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, even now as a college student, when, you know, I have to leave on the weekends and go to different conferences and, you know, silly photo shoots and stuff for promotional things, and I have to leave all my friends and, you know, pack my backpack full of books because I'm missing all my classes, I'm thinking, is this really the best thing for me anymore? Is this, you know, I'm worried about my participation grades in classes and all that, and it's a difficult balance, and especially when, you know, anymore now that I'm not even with the girls, it's totally different to run the Sparkle Effect when I'm not getting to actually practice with these teams and really do the hands-on work, which is what I love the most. It gets hard, but
now,
I
right there,
so much.
Let me give you some coaching right there.
Yeah.
Remember, what you've got going on right now is a momentary thing. You know, you only have a few years of college. Knowing you, you'll probably have less than 4. So you kind of just got to get through them, and then you'll go back to, you know, if that's truly what you decide you want to do, then you can go back to all the hands-on everything. It's kind of like the years of juggling are upon you. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean? Where you got to keep all the balls in the air. That's difficult, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I believe so much in teams. I believe so much in, you know, the nation's ability to be inclusive.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I care so much. And every time I, you know, log on to my email and, you know, get an email saying we just had our first game, or check out this photo of our first practice, or, you know, we're starting a new team and we have you know, these five kids signed up and we're so excited, it keeps the fire going.
Well,
you've
moved naturally into the more leadership role of the whole organization. It's neat to see it grow because you're moving to the sort of the top of it to lead all 85 teams or people, you know. Talk about being in 85 places at once.
Right, exactly. Well, and, you know, and I understand that I can't run 85 teams at once and still, you know, do anything else with my life. When things are going slow or I'm feeling discouraged, I just sort of think about my original 10 girls at Pleasant Valley and how much they mean to me and, you know, what an incredible growth experience that was for all of us and how much I care about providing that experience to other schools and other teams. And it reminds me of why I've chosen this, why I've made this my mission.
Now, it's okay, so people can go to thesparkleeffect.org or thesparkleeffect.org or either one.
Thesparkleeffect.org.
Okay. And you can start up a team. Like in the school we're at here in Maine, they don't even have cheerleaders at all. Did you know that? We have no cheerleaders. It's wild. You know me, Miss Cheerful. We have no cheerleaders at this high school in Falmouth, Maine. It always freaks me out. And I don't know. So maybe we could do something. maybe I'll be your oldest cheerleading coach or something like that. It's interesting.
Perfect. Well, do you have a dance team?
There's nothing here. Sarah, you should look at this here. Maine has very few, and I don't know why. Not being from here, I've lived here for 8 years, but I have all boys too, so I'm not really tuned into the girl thing. But Maine is not a very big cheerleading dance. It's dance. There's a different dance, but not at the schools. It seems spotty to me. Like sometimes some schools have cheerleaders and dance teams, and some don't. And ours just happens to be one that does not have anything from anything organized in school. I bet that is it. The
I can
first
tell
time
you, the farther
heard of
down
that?
South you go, the farther down south you go, the more popular cheerleading and dance gets. Those are the big. When I went, I did a big promotional tour last summer for the Sparkle Effect, and almost all the cheerleading camps and dance camps we went to were down south. So it doesn't shock me that, in Washington too, cheerleading isn't huge. Like we have cheer teams, but it's not the, you know, cheerleading is my entire life, high stakes competitive team culture that they have down in the south. Inclusion doesn't have to end with cheerleading, obviously.
Exactly.
We had a girl who was a Sparkles mentor at Pleasant Valley High School who then didn't make the team the next year, and she was heartbroken because she loved working with the Sparkles so much. So what she did was started her own inclusive club, which she called it PV Pals, which was just inclusive social club, where she just, you know, had this group meet, you know, once a week to, you know, do crafts and go bowling and get pizza and have a dance party. So just to bring everybody together with and without disabilities to have some fun. And so any student can really talk to their school board or whatever and get something like that started. And like I said, cheerleading is the smallest part of this whole project and this whole movement. So any way that you can extend yourself to anyone with or without disabilities. I hope that once people realize how much more similar we are than alike, that they're not just inclined to reach out to people with disabilities, but maybe to, you know, that one guy who always sits alone at lunch or who no one ever picks them as a partner in biology class. We just become a more accepting culture overall.
Yeah. I remember really being very quite awful at, they'd roll the ball to you, you'd kick it, and then run around the bases. I can't even remember what that was called, but I was always
kickball
or dodgeball or whatever it is, kickball.
Yeah.
It's probably basic kickball. I was just awful at that and always picked last. And God, just always. I can remember it to this day.
I feel your pain.
I don't want her on my team. But you know, I have a really serious question, and that is, if people are on a team of any kind and they have disabilities, are there some moments where it's not safe or anything like that? You know, can somebody with disabilities be on the same soccer team as somebody else, say? And do you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that go into including people.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter the level of inclusion, or does it just mean be included?
I think, you know, it's, in terms of skill, it can be really difficult, especially if on one team you have some kids who are wheelchair bound and some who have zero physical disabilities whatsoever. And you know, some who have, you know, motor coordination issues and some who don't. And so I think we had a girl who had leg braces on, and she couldn't participate in cheerleading stunts, which is all the lifts and stuff, mm-hmm. in the same way that the other girls could. And so we made her a judge, and we would give her, we just made her a little piece of paper that said 10. So everyone would get a 10 and said, after each girl does their stunt, we want to see the score. And so every time we would turn to her and she would flash this huge smile and show us the 10, and we would all cheer and applaud.
Yeah.
And so there are creative ways to include.
Keep on this level for a minute. Yeah, keep talking for a little bit with me, because I'm hoping maybe light bulbs go off with people. Somebody may be listening to this, like if somebody with disabilities wants to play on your standard soccer team, and you know that, you know, if you put that person in the whole time or something, you know, the game might not be won or something like that. But is there a different role that person could have, or a certain time period that person plays, to make it fun and include them?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I can't claim to be an expert on any sport whatsoever.
Yeah,
because
I get it, me either.
I have zero
hand-eye
coordination and have never played a sport in my life. But first of all, you know, practicing, you know, I always felt like the practices with the Sparkles were far more important than the games, because that's when you really get to know one another, and that's when you form your inside jokes and have your little routines and all that. And so, obviously, even if a student can just practice with the team, and that can be perfect. But, you know, we often cheer not during the game, but during halftime performances or before the game, in between games. And so let's say, like, in a soccer game, and I don't know if this would work or not because I've never played soccer, but if you could just add a minute to the end of the game, so the game's already been played, we already know who wins, but if the refs would be willing to just add 1 minute to put different players in give them a shot at playing. You know, that's 1 minute of everyone's time. It's no skin off anyone's back, and everyone gets to feel like they're part of the team.
Okay, can I ask you to do me a favor? To your
mm-hmm.
Sparkle Effect, can you add a slogan, add a minute? I think that is brilliant.
I love that
already? Well, you should add that.
Right now,
our
slogan is when everyone cheers, everyone wins.
Yeah,
but
for sports and things like that, add a minute, it is genius. Like, at the end of the game, it's all played, now we're going to add a minute. Oh, I love it.
I love that. That's
my
next campaign.
Okay.
Planned it.
I love it.
Our last one was called Are You In?
Yeah.
It's a play off of inclusion. We have these fun T-shirts that said, like, are you inspired? Are you involved? Are you inclusive? Are you interested? And gave hundreds of those out to cheerleaders. But add a minute, I think, is definitely going to have to be our next one.
Oh, I think so, too. And then it reaches it out. You could do football. You could do, you know, everything. And, you know, there's probably some safety issues a little bit that you have to be, you know, mildly aware of. But even if it's just, you know what I mean, if it's just a moment where someone gets to be out on a field or recognized or something, I bet that just means the world. Kind of like the same thing you're talking about with, you know, when your cheerleaders all came out for the first time on that field.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's 1 minute of everybody else's time to devote to giving attention and love to somebody else. And that's the highlight of their week, you know?
Oh,
so,
it's the highlight of their life.
To give.
I bet,
yeah,
in
exactly.
some cases, you've made such a big difference. It's the highlight of someone's life. And, you know, you never know when you've picked someone up from a moment of complete anguish and turned their life around either. I mean, I really do bet, and as much as you've got going on right now, you've picked up people who really didn't feel good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we all have the power to make a difference in someone else's life every single day, and whether we take that opportunity is completely and totally up to us. But I try and make a point every day of doing at least one thing, even if it's just, you know, sweeping the kitchen so my mom doesn't have to.
Wouldn't that be nice? You need to teach something. My children that. Four boys. Sarah, come on over. They're 11, 13, 15, and 17, and you can teach them to sweep the kitchen and unload the dishwasher so mom doesn't have to. We were just talking.
I've got brothers, too. I know how that goes. I get so frustrated when I'm like, don't, you know how to load a dishwasher. Don't just leave your dishes out.
Oh, yeah. We were just joking around about that this morning. I looked at my husband, and I'm like, you know, I might need to leave for a week so people actually appreciate me. And it wasn't about him. It was just about the kids. And he's like, oh, my gosh, they appreciate you. And I'm like, I'm not quite certain, judging by the counter downstairs.
Right, exactly.
Right now, everything is piled up like I am the dishwasher girl. It was really funny. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to get over this moment right now. But very funny. let's just a little bit of side note here. Nothing to do with the sparkle effect. But let me check time here really fast because we don't have a producer with us. We've got about 15 minutes left, so we're doing great. What I want to talk about with you, if you have a moment, are those dear parents of yours, because what a blessing you are to the world. Can you tell us who your parents are and what the, I don't know, do they mind being talked about?
Oh, they don't mind, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. I don't even know if they're listening right now. It's big. It's cookie baking weekend at the Kronk household, so we made about 400 cookies we're going to go deliver this afternoon. So they're probably busy assembling cookie trays and all that. But my parents are great. Their names are Cliff and Linda. They're both federal prosecutors. So nice, strict upbringing here in the Kronk household, but we've all turned out okay. So they're
strict
great though.
Upbringing.
They're both on the Sparkle Effects board and have been instrumental in helping me get it off the ground. I'll say this over and over and over again. I had no idea what I was doing when I started the Sparkle Effect. I had no plan, no direction, no idea how to make a plan. And so without them, none of it would have happened. They're the ones who sat me down and said, do you really want to make this happen? Because if you do, we will sit here and help you and form an idea and, you know, help you figure out how to get funding and how to promote and things like that. But, of course, you know, they're both lawyers. They've never started a business before either. So it was a big learning experience for all the Kronks. But they're really amazing, giving, loving people. And I'm so happy to be so close with them. Whenever I meet friends at school or whatever who, you know, can only speak negatively about their parents, it makes me so sad because I love mine so much and they've been so important to my success. And they've taken off many a day from work to accompany me on business trips and all that. So they're really amazing. And always, especially during the holidays, I'm so thankful to have them because they really have made such a beautiful life for me and my brothers.
Yeah, they are very neat people. Very sweet. Your whole family just seems like just sweethearts. And
we try.
Miss, yeah, no. Do you minus the brothers? No. Do you miss Iowa? Do you miss being in Iowa? You know, being so far away in Washington. Was that the right choice to go to school there, or did you, in hindsight, are you like, oh, maybe I should have gone closer or anything like that? Do you have anything like that happening?
I mean, I definitely feel like it was the right choice. As much as I loved growing up in Iowa, since I've always lived here, and since so many people in this area grow up here and then go to school pretty close to here and then move back here and raise their family, I really felt like while I still had the opportunity before I had a steady job and a family to sort of get out and see other areas of the country, that's something that I really wanted to do, especially with all the traveling that I've gotten to do with the Sparkle Effect. I know that there's so many cool places in the country
that
I also wanted to see.
Yeah,
and I love living in Washington. I think it's just like the coolest place ever. But it was definitely hard to transition when I first got there. I wasn't totally ready for how different it was, down to the slang people use, the way people dress, you know, all that stuff was, it was, I just wasn't prepared for that. So I got really, really homesick during my freshman year, but it, the transition and going back and forth between each life
gets
better every time. Took a big job. Oh, no, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, well, I was just going to ask you, were you raised going out of state a lot on vacations and things like that? Because, like, coming from Iowa, I was not raised doing too much else other than going to, like, Minneapolis being
right.
a big place we would go to, or maybe Chicago, or, like, mm-hmm. down to Kansas City. So, like, I growing up in Iowa, I had never, you know, seen New York or seen California or seen – I had seen Hawaii. Were you raised like that, or had you seen other places by the time you had graduated from high school?
Well, I mean, Sam, we were pretty much like any other Midwestern family growing up. We have family in the Chicago area and did the Wisconsin Dells and stuff for vacations, all the little water parks and stuff. And we had grandparents in Florida, and so when we were feeling really stir crazy, we would pack up the minivan and drive down to Florida for that lovely 15-hour trip.
From Iowa. Oh, God.
But, yeah, you know, big, exciting, exotic vacations don't really work with my older brother's disabilities. He gets overwhelmed easily, and so we had to keep most of our vacations
tame.
But the Sparkle Effect has given me so many opportunities to travel. I've actually gotten to go to New York 10 times or so in the last 3 years.
Isn't that neat? I can remember being
to L.A. for the first time.
Yep.
And you know, even just visiting small towns where my teams are, like getting to go visit a high school in Connecticut or in California or Minnesota or Texas, you know, just gives me opportunities to see different parts of the country and how other people live. And so it's really through the Sparkle Effect that I've gotten to visit the most places.
Yeah. Well, I remember being just about your age and graduating from college. I might have been a year or two older than you, probably about 21. And being in the job for a little bit and then sending me to New York City with my boss. And I just had really, I don't know, had you ever seen graffiti before?
Only on trains that pass through.
Exactly. I had never really seen graffiti before. You know, and people think that's really funny, like, wow, naive. But that's kind of the safety of Iowa. It's really hard to explain to anybody who's not from Iowa, you know, that you've really never seen that type of thing before. And I really can't say I'd ever seen too many taxi cabs like that, you know, that many things. And the other thing that really was different for me, like even in going to Minneapolis, because I eventually moved from Iowa to Minneapolis, were parking ramps. Because, you know, I had never really parked in a parking ramp that went 8 floors up and 8 floors down below. And so there were some really naive, funny things about me in my 20s that I don't know most people.
Well, it's so funny. I took my dad to New York for the first time for, he'd never been before. And I think this was probably like my fifth trip or something. So, of course, I, you know, at 17, already thought I was an old pro at New York City.
Oh, sure.
But he loves all the crime dramas on TV, like Law and Order and stuff that all take place in New York.
Yeah.
And he's a federal prosecutor. So he has this idea that, you know,
dun, dun, dun.
We can't be on the streets alone or else we're going to be kidnapped. And
that's
funny view of what it's going to be like when we get there. And we're going out to eat. And he was like, there are people everywhere. And all the lights are on everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, it's not like every street is a dark alley and we're going to have to worry about getting mugged. He was so funny.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that too.
I'm like, how I see how people do really get hurt and things like that, of course. But you know, it's lit up. People everywhere. If you're really like in Times Square or something like that, it's crazy lit up. I mean, it's like daylight.
Well, and like even like the stores are open until 2 a.m. It's really the city that never sleeps. I went shopping once at Forever 21 in Times Square at like 1:30 in the morning when I was on a trip. That I just decided, you know, I can, so I will. So I, like, got out, and my friends that I was with were like, you're seriously going to go out by yourself? And I was like, yeah, I want to go shopping. Let's go. No one went with me. I just went by myself.
Oh, I totally get
this. Probably not my smartest move.
Well, you know, I get that, too. But, yeah, I remember being in New York City going, I really don't have to go to sleep. I did the same thing you did. I was, like, out shopping till 2 in the morning going, I really don't have to go to sleep. Everything's still, it doesn't close down at 8 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no curfew. There's still a curfew in Iowa. If you're under 18, you can't be out past 10 o'clock or you can get picked up by the police.
Yeah, everywhere. And where I was going with that, this whole thing of being kind of funny here with you know, our experiences outside of Iowa is really the incredible growth that you've experienced from just really stepping outside of your box and taking the leap to start this company, taking a leap to go across halfway across country to school. And really what I wanted to talk about was how fearless you are, fearless and courageous you are.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I'd call it fearless, because I definitely get scared. But I think that's what bravery really is when you're scared and you go for it anyway, which
that's
is definitely what these girls with disabilities do every day, even more than I do and than I can say I've ever done. So it's really them. They're the real heroes here, the real driving force.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And can you feel the way you all grow, though, with each new thing that you encounter?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't believe I know anything, but I know a lot more than I did 4 years ago, and I know that 4 years from now I'm going to know a lot more than I do now, and that no matter what, my mother's always going to know more than I do. So,
funny.
I mean, but that's the cool thing, is to always be learning and growing, and I hope I'm never done learning and growing.
Yeah, it's truly just fun to see. What are some of your goals? I heard you say you want to do 100 organizations, 100 Sparkle Effect squads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one. What are some other things that you're thinking about?
Well, I want to, in the distant future, someday write a book about my experiences with Sparkle Effect and with having a brother with disabilities, and especially since I'm planning on being an English major, hopefully I learn to become a good enough writer to eventually write a book about all of this that in my secret fantasy dreams turns into a major motion picture where some young, attractive celebrity plays me and I get to live off the proceeds of that for the rest of my life. But
that's a nice goal. I like that.
That's a little bit out of my control.
No, keep with that goal. It's a good one.
Yeah, so until then, just to continue being in a position where I get to facilitate other people's success. That's really what feeds my soul and what makes me the happiest, is being able to lift others up and to prepare them to live their own successful life. And doing that for me, working toward that goal is enough. That's all I really want to do.
No, I get it. Do people who are older than you, like much older than you, like say my age, or I think your parents are about my age too, aren't they? Are they? Close to, we're all fairly close enough anyway. Does anybody ever say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, you're just a kid or whatever, or treat you in any kind of condescending way, or are they like, okay, Sarah, you're awesome kind of thing? Does anybody ever, make you feel 19?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm more sensitive to that than what people actually do. My mom always jokes that that's my soft underbelly, that I want to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And so even if everyone is taking me seriously, I'm still like hypersensitive about it. Like, oh, don't you think that person said something a little condescending to me? And everyone else is like, no, I think you're making that up. So I think
I'm sensitive to it. It's like, oh, no, but
yeah.
I hope people do. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show. And for those listening live, we're going to cut off in 90 seconds or so, about a minute and a half. And we're going to run probably 2 or 3 minutes over, maybe 4 or 5, just to close the show out properly. So it'll cut off live and you can listen to the very end of the show on replay. But I wanted to make sure and talk about this before we go, and that's that you were 15 when you started this. You're 19 now. And, to anybody listening, take people way younger than you seriously, because they're very, very serious and they're changing lives. And we've got you in the youth category on Blog Talk Radio for a reason. Best Ever You is really committed to doing shows with young adults who are achieving wonderful things and taking you guys very seriously and promoting you as best we can. Kind of like what you helped me do with Best Ever You when we very first started, when you were pointing me in the direction of various teens who were excelling and so forth. And, you know, I just appreciate you so much, and I take you very seriously. I just want you to know that. And I hope our show helps you in some way succeed and reach those 100 teams. I really do. We'll put it out there as a goal to help you.
Well, thank you so much. And I had such a fun time writing for Best Ever You back in the day. And so thankful to have Best Ever You as part of our network. And we feel so supported by you guys, and can't thank you enough for these opportunities.
Well, we've changed and grown too along the way. It's been quite an interesting journey to kind of, you know, when you start something, and I'm sure you kind of know this, you never know really where you're going exactly. And sometimes you have to maneuver through things. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, you just got to see signposts instead of roadblocks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every time you hit an obstacle, it's just another opportunity to get creative.
I love that. And you find your footing eventually, too, and then you grow, which
exactly.
It sounds like you've really, really done. And, I mean, 83 or 85, however many you've got there, is just an amazing number of people you're helping, because, you know, it's probably got to be close to 1,000 people or more at this point.
Yeah, we've got over 1,000 students involved now.
Wow. That's just amazing. So, well, best of luck to you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays and happy New Year and everything. And I just want to thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, too.
And so for everyone listening, you can go to sparkleeffect.org, right?
TheSparkleEffect.org.
Oh, TheSparkleEffect.org. I just want to make sure and get that right. TheSparkleEffect.org, and that's TheSparkleEffect, and you can find that's .org, and you can find The Sparkle Effect. You know, you can just Google it, but it's also on Twitter, Sparkle Effect. It's on Facebook. You're on Facebook, Sarah Kronk, and anybody can reach you via email or your website, and keep changing lives. So it's just awesome. So thank you for being with us. And any final thing? Did we miss anything before we go? Is there anything? Let's let you close. Anything I missed?
I don't think so. I think that's everything. Sounds great, and
I know
everyone
one thing.
Has a great holiday season.
I know one thing we missed. Can you talk about one thing really fast before we go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you just nominated for some award, or did you go somewhere for, I saw on your Facebook, was it L'Oreal or something? I can't.
Yeah, I was named one of L'Oreal's 10 Women of Worth for 2012, which is such a cool program that they do. So they gave the Sparkle Effect $10,000 and the opportunity to vie for an additional $25,000 and to go to New York and attend this amazing gala with tons of really, really cool celebrities. I sat next to Juliana Margulies at dinner, who's the star of The Good Wife, and she was just fantastic. Got to talk with Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post. Just a room full of very empowering, empowered and powerful, cool women. So just an amazing experience that we got to be a part of.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
just
you.
Really neat. Now, can you run for it again next year, or how do you get, can you do that 2 years in a row and then?
I don't think so. I think it's a one-stop shop there with L'Oreal, but they're considering having us all back in a couple of years for a big summit with all the women of worth from the past 7 years or so. So hopefully I'll get to see all these amazing women again.
Great. All right. Well, congratulations, everyone. Sarah Kronk from The Sparkle Effect, thank you for being with us and taking time out of your Sunday and your holiday to be with us. And are you going back on the baking cookie tour?
Yep, I got to go deliver now. I got to go door-to-door to all the neighbors' houses and wish them a Merry Christmas.
That's so beautiful. Well, stay warm and have a great holiday.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.